Yes, I'm going to. Yes.
Yeah, it's not 25-year plan, it was.
907.
Yeah. You're right on time.
Yeah, that was the one you.
Yeah, I have them, because I do zoning stuff, and they, starts at 9, they watch, start at 4.
I know, I do a double. So you have the name.
Good morning. I'd like to call the July 11, 2019, Bicycle Trailsway Pedestrian Advisory Committee to order, and can we have a roll call? Amy Alvarez, Sally Channon, Heather Danforth is excused, Eric Ferguson.
Here.
Kathleen Hatcher.
Here.
Michael Howe.
Here.
Jean Matthews.
Here.
Fady Nazar. Michael Owens. Joel Schoffler. Olga Pieto.
Brian Hardy, here for Olga.
Bob Saban.
Here.
Stephanie Coburn.
Garrett Watson's here for.
Larry Mullins.
Here.
Okay, we have a call on the chat. Okay, good. Can I get a motion to adopt the July 11, 2019 agenda?
Move to approve.
Moved by Michael Howe. Do I have a second?
Here.
Bob Saban. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from June 6, 2019? And I do have a correction on them. On page 5, Heather on the vote in the middle. Heather voted no because of the State Road 7 under 2B, so if her vote can be shown as a no.
Yeah, that's incorrect.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any other corrections to minutes?
And she does, I think she states it in the minutes, why she voted.
Yes.
Because of the SRA 7 project.
So it's the only change I saw. Anybody?
I'll move approval minutes with the correction that has been.
First by Michael, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
All opposed? Nay? Motion carries unanimously. Comments from the chair? I don't have any comments. Other than, oh, we're still working with the TPA and engineering, we're doing safe routes to school, and we initiated that, and they've been very helpful, and we've identified sidewalk gaps. And now, it's funny, my boss, Bob Hamilton, has presented this safe routes to parks several times.
Okay, wonderful.
At several different conferences, so it, what started as a little idea is growing for everybody. Liaison's report.
Yes. All right, so our July TPA Governing Board meeting will be held on Thursday, July 18, at 9 a.m. And it'll be at West Palm Beach Lake Pavilion on Flagler Drive. August meetings, as a reminder, there will be no governing board meeting or advisory committee meetings held in August, other than the workshop. We'll talk about that in a second. The next BTPAC meeting, regular meeting, will be held on Thursday, September 5, 2019. However, there will be no regularly scheduled BTPAC meeting in August, like I said. There will be a special meeting held on August 8, and this is what I was talking about. And that's for the TA scoring workshop that we discussed last time, where committee members will finalize scoring sheet items for the 2020 TA cycle. This meeting will follow PPP procedures and is open for the public to attend. Safe Routes to School, they are having a workshop. The Safe Routes to School workshop and grant application window. FDOT will be holding a grant application workshop on August 13, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. in the FDOT district for auditorium over there in Fort Lauderdale. Workshop attendance is mandatory for all applicants to attend this in order to be considered for the grant. The application period is starting on September 1st and ends December 31st. And for general information about the program, go to srtsflorida.org. Really, they don't provide a lot of information until September 1st, so just kind of keep that in mind. The state total of available grant funding for this year is expected to be $7 million, with a max of $250,000 per project. And just to give you guys an indication about the SRTS program, 100% of applicants in the past 2 years have been, actually the past 3 years, 100% of all applicants have been awarded funding for the SRT application. So it's encouraged for you guys to apply too. You know, it's not terribly competitive as I thought, so that's good. And this particular workshop that's happening on August 13th, I encourage, you know, a lot of people to attend, not only for Safe Routes to School, but the state's doing a new database called GAP, and it's, I think, called Grant Assistance Program, something like that. And a lot of the grant programs are going to be using this system, including SRTS. And so if you're wanting to kind of get a head start on learning how this GAP program works, this would be a good workshop to attend. Helmet fitting training. So helmet fitting training will be at the Broward County Community Traffic the Broward County Community Traffic Safety Team is offering a free bicycle helmet fitting training on August 1st from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. in FDOT District 4 Auditorium, same places as the grant workshop for SRTS. Located at 3400 Commercial Boulevard. This training will allow for attendees to become a bicycle helmet community partner and the opportunity to receive free helmets from Alert Today Alive Tomorrow. I believe. But anyway, I know it's through FDOT. Attendees must RSVP by July 26th to Carmen Blades at this by telephone or by email. BT PAC, we are still seeking a disabled community representative, and we received some good recommendations from people on who to contact, so we're kind of working on that as well. But if you can think of anybody, please let us know. We'd like to get this off of the liaison report initially. Upcoming conferences, if you like a list of upcoming conferences, we keep an updated list on all the time on www.palmbeachtpa.org/conferences. So, Sherry, that's
it. Do I have any members of the public that would like to comment? Seeing none, we're going to move on to action item 2A. Recommend the TPA's fiscal 20 strategic plan. And do we have a presentation?
Valerie Nielsen, I'm the Deputy Director of Multimodal Development here at the TPA. I'm going to be presenting this item. So the strategic plan, we started doing this in fiscal year 2017. It's basically kind of focuses our priorities and it's an above and beyond our UPWP, our Unified Planning Work Program of the tasks that we do, what other tasks should we do and focus on above our general planning tasks. So we have we just finished fiscal year 19 because we work on the DOT's fiscal year. So this was basically a snapshot of the things that we were able to accomplish and what we didn't accomplish and what's still in progress. So we did a great job accomplishing most of the items. We weren't able to accomplish one of our goals, which was to update our video explaining the role of the TPA. A couple years ago, we did a video and it said MPO who? What is an MPO? And so we still plan to do that, but we didn't get to do it in this fiscal year. We have a couple items. The blue circles are items that we're working on. They're still not completed yet. One of them is a transit shelter design guide. It's almost done. We wanted to have it done by now, but we're working with Palm Tran because we really want to make sure we're on the same page with the information that we share on that. And that's to serve as a local guide of what we have today and what are some best practices we should consider for our local communities and for Palm Tran when designing shelters. We also are in progress. One of the items was to research an alternative to the road impact fee system, and that's something that is still kind of something in progress that is being looked into, and we're working with the county on that. And then the other item that we were hoping to have done by now but is in progress, hopefully will be done soon, is to move to a new office meeting and meeting space. And the update on that is that we just got this week the building permit to continue construction. We had gotten permission to do like an initial building permit to do 10% construction at 301 Detour Street in downtown. And we reached that 10%, we just got the building permit to continue construction. So we hope that September is still ambitious, but we hope to move in September or October, early fall. So hopefully our future BTFAC meetings will be in our new space this fall. So that's a snapshot of our strategic plan for fiscal year 19. Our governing board had a strategic plan, created a strategic plan steering committee, which met to review this and help us create recommendations for fiscal year 20. So now we're presenting what those recommendations are based on what we provided them and what they refined and ended up recommending for fiscal year 20. So in this document, you'll see what we striped through and what are new things that highlighted in red that we created. So one of the things that we want to do for this new year is to create a pilot interactive comment map. So we have an interactive map online where you can, if you go to palmbeachtpa.org/map, you can see all upcoming TIP projects on a map, bicycle pedestrian facilities, transit facilities, a lot of information, a lot of different layers. But we want to be able to explore a way for people to provide comments through that interactive map as well, and maybe tell us, we would like this fixed here, or we would like a project here. So that's something we want to explore in this new year. And then most of the other stuff continues to stay the same. Conduct outreach events, expand our social media outreach, and we still have this one to update our video explaining the role of the TPA. Our board said that our steering committee from our board said that let's shoot for to have that by June 2021. So let's push it out as you become a transit, an independent transit agent or independent agency. Maybe, you know, give you some more time to have to create that new video. The second goal is to plan the system. So a new item is before we had commenced new multimodal studies. Now we have a goal of commence 3 multimodal studies on our transit plan corridor. So through our desires plan of our long-range transportation plan, we've identified 11 corridors to study for premium transit, for multimodal improvements where we saw the greatest need. So that would be, our goal would be to at least start on 3 of those corridors in this next year, looking at them closer and identifying bicycle, pedestrian, transit, multimodal improvements along those corridors. We still want to continue doing safe routes to school, walking safety audits in 3 locations per year. And we want to continue publishing our long-range transportation plan implementation report. And a new item is to create a smart Palm Beach website to improve existing data, add new data, share data. This is something some other MPOs around the state are doing in other cities. So we want to explore that, creating more of this kind of smart technology, being able to share this data in a better, more efficient way. And we're hoping to do that by June of 2020. Our third goal is prioritized funding. The new item on here is to create a new TPA priority list for safety projects. So we adopted Vision Zero Action Plan, which identifies our top high crash corridors and high crash hotspots. So we want to identify a priority list of those areas to study them for safety improvements. We also added under updating, every year we update our local initiatives and transportation alternative scoring system to ensure they advance our TPA priorities, but we also added in there to, and to promote sustainable materials in the construction of new projects. We had, under D here, we had before the submit applications for discretionary grants, but we found it challenging since we don't own any roads or things. So we really need that other entity to, that owns the roads, like for example, Palm Beach County or a city or another agency, to really bring that, those applications to the finish line. So we've changed the verb to say support applications. So, you know, letting folks know about grant opportunities and working with them in whatever capacity we can to help support that. Goal four is to implement projects. Here we continue to have the same goals as before. We added support accelerated project delivery by partner agencies. So this is hoping to, if there are partner agencies that have projects that are ready to go, hoping to help them get those across the finish line sooner. And then goal five is collaborate with partners. We continue to have this research alternative, the road impact fee system, and our goal is to present an alternative by June of 2020, continue to work with the county, look at what other counties and cities around the state are doing, see if it would be a possibility to do something else than the road impact fee system that we have now. And then we added down here, conduct workshops on topics of interest. So we've done some complete streets workshops in these past couple of years. We want to do, we're planning to do a transit peer exchange workshop soon, and probably other workshops that our board requests as well, such as autonomous and connected electric vehicles, micromobility, and other topics as they come up. So that's another goal that we have. We also have here facilitate local walk, bike, age-friendly designations. We've had AARP come and present to us about AARP livable communities. There's 27 in the state of Florida communities that have that designation. The state of Florida has that designation as well. There are zero in Palm Beach County. So we hope that we can get some, the county maybe, and some of our municipalities to get on board with the livable communities initiatives. And then we have the walk bike friendly designations as well that we hope more cities will get. And then finally, goal six is administer the agency. And we updated, moved to the new office meeting space to October 2019. So that's our new goal. I think that's pretty much a summary of what this, of our new strategic plan, what happened last year, and what we're, what's been being recommended be tweaked for this year. That's pretty much it.
Wow. Very ambitious.
Yeah.
Right. Do I have a motion to approve the TPA's fiscal year 2020 strategic plan? And do I have a motion?
Move approval.
Michael Howe, do I have a second? Bob? And then discussion? Seeing no discussion, we'll move to a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. All right, thank you. Next action item is to the adoption of the fiscal year 21 to 25 annual list of priority projects. And do we have a presentation for this?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Hi, good morning everyone. My name is Jason, I'm the TIP coordinator. I'm gonna go over the list of priority projects today. So, last month we adopted the Transportation Improvement Program, and so that was kind of the culmination of all the work up to that point to adopt the TIP document. So we're basically starting over again, and the way it starts over is by first creating the list of priority projects. So as the mission for the TPA is to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system. And so in this part, last month we did the fund aspect of adopting the Transportation Improvement Program, and by starting over, we're beginning the process by prioritizing the projects that will eventually end up in the TIP document. So the first part, just as a timeline, Back in March, when we did the annual competitive grant process, we looked at we advertised and received applications for the Transportation Alternative Program and the Local Initiatives Program. Received that information, prioritized it, and then put it into the list of priority projects, which is what I have here today. And then from there, those projects will move on. We'll submit those to FDOT. They'll look at it, apply funding to it, incorporate it into their work program, and then we'll use that work program once they incorporate our requests and start to develop a draft TIP document. The structure of the document today is there's three sections. There's the major projects for the TPA, and those all come from the long-range transportation plan and the cost feasible list in that plan. And then the other two sections, the local initiatives and the transportation alternatives, those come from the competitive grant process. And to the right, it's just identifying how much funding is available on each of those in each of those sections, and where do those funds come from. So just an illustration of what's in the document and where the projects are derived from. The first section is the major projects for the TPA, which is, there was a few highlights to go over. The first major highlight was there was a deferment of funds from the Boca Raton Tri-Rail Station, and this was at the request of SFRTA and Boca Raton to move those funds from that second Boca Raton station to the northern layover facility that's already in the TIP document. They're not ready to move forward with it, so just to reallocate the funds to an active project, that's basically what's happening there. The next one is clarify the scope of US 1 in Boca Raton and modify location of the US 1 project in West Palm Beach. So this was, you'll see in the document in the under major TPA projects, there's a table with a list of all of the projects, and you'll see it highlighted in some, and the previous scope crossed out, and we basically just expanded the scope so you know exactly what's happening. Some of them were somewhat general, and we're just trying to be, more detailed in what's happening. The next view is a fund transit signal prioritization on US 1, Okeechobee and Lake Worth Boulevard and State Route 7. And the final one, fund premium transit shelters on US 1 and Okeechobee. These are all projects identified in the major TPA projects. And although these are short items, they're kind of dense. They're all listed in different projects. Instead of going over the list, I mean, there's quite a few of them. Like US 1, Okeechobee, and Lake Worth Road, they're itemized in different numbers. I might be able to pull up the list after. So for local initiatives, this is part of the process that you guys evaluated all of the, you looked at these projects, and when we put them through the ranking and prioritized them, there was 9 total projects, but 5 of them were proposed for inclusion into the priority list, and the total amount was about $20 million, so we were able to fund a few of the bigger projects. 2 were withdrawn by the applicant, and 2 were found not eligible. The top of it, sorry for skipping around a little bit. The US 1 Riviera Beach Lighting, that was a local initiative project that we were able to combine with the US 1 Reconstruction Project in the major project list. And that's listed as item number 7E. So it was moved out of local initiatives and combined with a larger project to be delivered at the same time in the same location. So for this round in 2019 for the Local Initiatives Grant Program, this next slide shows you all of the projects, how the final score worked out, and what their status and eligibility was. The first few that were proposed for funding The electric Trent, Palm Beach County Palm Tran is looking to purchase 3 electric buses and charging stations. That'll be located at their electronics way yard where they'll have their, that's where they'll run the electric buses and have the charging stations located. The second one was Crest Haven Boulevard. It's a 7-foot buffer bike lane. And that's coming from Palm Beach, will be implemented out of Palm Beach County, their engineering department. And then the next one was the town of Palm Beach. They submitted an application for a signal interconnect project that will connect 4 of their primary signals in the town of Palm Beach that will be upgraded and incorporated into the overall Palm Beach County signal network. So they'll be able to kind of incorporate those signals and allow for easier access or, you know, easier movement off of the town, out of the town, out of the town of Palm Beach, off the island and into West Palm Beach. Currently, without the signals being coordinated, it's an issue when there is major events or for evacuation purposes. And let's see. The next one was the city of West Palm Beach, 25th Street, Complete Streets. Both of the city of West Palm Beach projects scored pretty well. They had a preference between the two. There is a requirement in the grant that each applicant gets one project per round. So with City of West Palm Beach having 2 projects scoring well, they had a preference for 25th Street as the preferred project, so they selected that one. So that was included in the list of funded projects. And the last one, the town of Loxahatchee Grove, there was a proposal for 3 roundabouts, but in the end it ended up being a single roundabout at Okeechobee Boulevard and Folsom. For transportation alternatives, there was 8 total applications submitted and 4 were proposed for inclusion into the priority list. 1 was not eligible. So this is a smaller pot of money. It's only $3 million instead of 20. So there's fewer projects, but implementation is shorter by, it's only 3 years as opposed to 5. So the projects that were suggested for proposal or suggested for inclusion was the first 3, which was the Westgate CRA. Second one was the Complete Streets for City of Boynton Beach, and the third, Loxahatchee Grove, the multi-use trail, and then Village of Wellington, Greenview Shores was, I believe, the 4th. There is, again, with the Westgate CRA, they had 2 projects that were ranked high, so you go through the first round where all the applicants get an opportunity to be funded in the first round, and then they'll move to a second, and that's where the balance of the funds for was applying to that. So that's pretty much how those worked out. And you see the ranking is ordered by your guys' rank. That's how they're listed, and that's how it worked out. And lastly, when you look at the list of all of the projects, you'll notice that there's an asterisk next to all of the projects that could be eligible for different funding for these 2 funding sources. One is the Sun Trail Shared Use Network. There's state funding provided specifically for Sun Trail projects, and the other one is Highway Safety Improvement Program. So there's safety funds also available. So these funds could be considered to supplement parts of any of those projects. It's a small amount of funds, but it is something to consider that we may be able to pursue in the future. And those are all the slides I had. We can go back and revisit any of the projects, or if you have any questions.
Why was the, go back 2 slides if you could. Let's see, one more.
Oh, no.
Look there, that's.
This is transportation alternatives.
Right. Why was the Indian Trail Improvement District non-motorized improvements deemed ineligible? Just curiosity.
So for this particular project, they weren't lap certified in time, so.
Okay.
It's something that you kind of have to, you have to apply for in advance or begin to work with FDOT and initiate that process before you apply or, you know, in advance. They recommend like 6 months or so, just so they know that they can kind of vet the organization and find and go through the process of, do you have the capacity to administer a project and what's the complexity of the project? So it's a somewhat of a rigorous process. I haven't sat through it, but I know it's a lengthy one.
Yeah. It didn't have time to become lab certified, and the county didn't have enough information yet to assume that.
The pleasure to ask is, given it was a county road, and the county is, it might make more sense if the county administered project and that complexity, and it's their road.
Right. There was a unique right of way regarding that, because property, it's actually kind of like, it's different in that jurisdiction where you have landowners who actually own the roadway, but there's like an easement thing. It's kind of complicated, so there were some liability concerns that could not be ironed out in time for this cycle. Well,
the county has a number of roadways that actually are easements in the acreage or thoroughfare roads, so yeah. They deal with that all the time.
So right.
That
right.
Really should be a technical brush off reason.
There were some other, yeah.
Maybe I could list them. But.
There you go.
Yeah.
So.
No. And we understand that. We've had some parks projects where county has just said, we don't want it to make this work. So it is what it is.
Do you want to mention the scope change for? So the town of Loxahatchee Groves, they are in the top three and are going to be awarded. Something to note, since you guys did rank them, they had a scope change with Okeechobee with their project. Instead of having on Okeechobee Boulevard and F Road, F Road was omitted from the project. So that did not change the score, however, so it was minor enough of a the omission did not create a dramatic change in the overall TPA rank. So just something to note, because this is a project you could have.
So. Is Okeechobee Road scheduled for expansion?
So Okeechobee Boulevard?
Yes.
It is, because in the local initiatives at Folsom Road for the roundabout, that was one of the discussions of the life of the roundabout and how it would operate after the after the road was widened. And so the template for the roundabout would be able to accommodate the expansion of the roadway.
And the multi-use trail will be able to stay after the expansion.
Hopefully
they had
those discussions about that too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do I have a motion?
I got a question too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was looking at the local initiatives, and your list wasn't matching up with what I was seeing, but you're trying to identify the priority. And in the, there's a lot more trying to decide. This is what the priority projects are, but there are other ones in the information. I printed it out.
Yeah.
And I'm not finding these things in your list, so I guess.
Okay.
Which page are you on?
Well, I'm looking at the original page was 46 in the
the backup.
And the backup information. I was looking at local initiatives, and I got, this one has, this page starts with Barwick Road from Atlantic to Lake Ida.
It starts on 44.
It starts at 44.
So, right, so those are all ones that were already prioritized previously and we've hit. And the only ones that he went through in more detail were the ones that were submitted this round for applications.
So these are done in a previous round?
Correct.
Okay.
And we, he'll also go over anything that was a major change for local initiatives. Like, for example, he had the one that was the Riviera Beach lighting. That one was a change to a product that was already in the system, so that's why he noted it here.
Okay.
We usually do note changes in it based on underscore or underlines or strike-throughs. And I don't, there's not really major changes in the local initiatives, right? So
what I'm reading on these pages are in fact planned, and actually they're planned sooner than what these projects were coming.
This document is basically a request for funding that we'll submit to FDOT, and then they'll apply funding towards these projects.
So the Australian project for Riviera Beach, that's separate now. It's not on your list here, but it's shown here. Because you have it combined, I guess you combined it with the U.S.
Yes.
one, but then you have this one Australian triple gear pedestrian lane. So that combined as well, is that all?
Those two aren't combined, but this one, this Riviera, each one was combined with
the other U.S.
with the one in the major projects.
Okay.
So, but the other one that you're talking about just below that, which is, we're referring to the one that's ranked 14-3.
Oh, okay.
So that one is still standalone. That one wasn't combined.
Jason, question. What is the total amount of all eligible projects for that item, the local initiative?
What's the total amount?
All eligible. I know there's a $20 million budget.
Yeah, there's money, there's extra money left over. We didn't exceed or reach the 20 million mark, so those excess funds are remaining. And yesterday in the previous two committee meetings, that was brought up as well. And in the TAC meeting, we discussed possibilities of what to do with those funds. Is there a possibility of using those funds for the TA projects, or at least finding a good use for those funds?
What was this amount? Approximately.
Go to the table. Walk back.
Are you excluding the one that in the strong and or in the
Correct. Six. Yeah, they,
like 13?
Yeah, 14, 15 maybe. Yeah, so probably $5 million.
Yeah. Which is a good amount. It's more than the whole TA program. So something
to help clarify though, with the local initiatives funds, they do have different rules than the TA funds. So the local initiative funds are SU funds that can be used on DOT.
If you're using federally aid eligible roadways.
Yeah, federally aid eligible roads. So TA you can do off-road projects. SU funds you can't. You have to stay on the federally aid eligible roads.
Yeah, so there is limitations, there's restrictions, differences between the two, but we're going to look into how best to use the funds.
In regard to this item, yesterday Ken Delaney asked for PPA to look into the possibility of repurposing some of those funds for TA projects.
Yes.
And looking into if any of these projects are eligible, and she got TAC to endorse that. I think it would probably be in this committee's best interest to maybe support the same thing.
What was the motion for TSA to look into this? Was there a motion?
There was a motion. I don't know the specific wording, but it's basically what the fee is, the parent price.
Yeah.
We could do the same. Try to fund all projects from the TA if possible. So what we do is look at this list and see which ones could be eligible SU funds, and then see if we can fund them with the SU, the local initiative funding, but also try to maintain that three-year time period would be another concern. So as long as we have money available in the third year, because SU funds, the local initiatives is usually 5 years out. So, but we do have a little bit extra money, it looks like, in the third year that's left over, so it might be possible. We're gonna have to do some more research.
Yeah, it's something we have to research.
Well, I think that's a great idea, because if the local initiatives can only be used on FDOT roads, this money could really then be switched over and do some of the greenway projects we need to get done in town. Yeah, I mean, it's a good idea. Do we want to make a motion to incorporate what the previous board did?
Yes.
For previous committee.
So the TAC, their motion, according to the notes, were a motion to approve with the request for the governing board to consider the reallocation of surface funds for projects eligible as soon as possible.
So consideration.
All right, do I have a motion?
I move to make that motion.
But we need, yeah, okay, good. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Bob. Do we have discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Yes.
There was a clarification that the other funds need to be on federally funded roadway projects. So if you don't have anything on this list that is on the federally funded road, how can you make the switch?
Well, that's what we're looking into.
You can.
Yeah, we're going to be.
You can mess with the rules, you know what I mean? Like, well, because it seems like that's a strict rule. How could you change that?
That's our argument too, but we're going to look into all the possibilities and see.
So for federally aid eligible roadways, so the ones for the local initiative program, those are all roadways which are urban, minor, collector, and above. So it does not include any local roadways or any rural minor collectors. So I don't know off the top of my head, I think maybe Southeast, stay there on your TA. Maybe Southeast First Street is a federal aid eligible one.
Okay, Boulevard. Yeah, I was thinking of Okeechobee Boulevard.
Right, so things like some of the ones in Westgate may not be.
No, Westgate is definitely not. But what about the Indian Trail? What roadway is that?
I'd have to look and see if it
is. Because that obviously is out west in a more rural area.
Yeah, but those are trails.
But if you could drop out, if 2 and 3 could be funded with a different source, it frees up $1.8 million to keep dropping down on our list and getting a lot more projects done.
Right.
And you know, it's great for the 3 year versus 5 year, but time goes by very quickly and
it gets done.
Do you have a motion?
I have one more.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I had a question on this. Yeah. Can you go back to the transit priority signals? Yes, about that. Just listed three locations.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know where on US 1?
Yes. And I was going to comment, I'm on Atlantic every day. Finished expanding Atlantic has got to be a priority. The traffic is so bad down there.
So the signal priority in the major TPA projects, it is number 10A, that's Okeechobee Boulevard from State Route 7 to US 1, State Route 7 from Forest Hill Boulevard to Okeechobee Boulevard. Is to implement transit signal priority for the entire port.
Did you say, where are US 1?
Oh,
he's talking about US 1.
US 1.
We have our limits as community reality at Indian Town, but I believe it's okay. Oh, there it is, sorry. 7A, yeah. Palmetto Park to North Lake, it looks like.
I got a question. on.
The US One study, basically, quarter, that was what we're moving forward with in the long-range transportation plan for the transportation quarter, so those limits.
Did that answer the question?
Yes, yep.
On the project, the Grant Bridge project, it says on, and I don't know too much, I don't remember reviewing this one.
Can you tell us what page and what I...
This one was rank 16-3.
A page?
Or the page is 45.
Okay, 16...
What about it? So this is a local initiative, so it's table two?
Yeah, but my concern was that on that project is that what we really need to do is have a wider bridge with bike lanes and sidewalks. And I'm not sure if this means if that's what's on this list is that it was doing that or something just shy of it. I think before they were going to do the sidewalks only and not do bike lanes. And I remember feeling like, no way, you damn well should be putting bike lanes on that bridge. That's a long-term project, and if you don't put bike lanes on there, it's only going to get worse. It's like all of the roads will funnel across this bridge, and you're not going to have a bike lane on that bridge, and it's because they only made it so wide.
Well, this is for a 10-foot shared use path bridge, and then the shared use path
is going to be a separate bridge.
Yeah, it'll be a separate.
Separate bridge. Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. Right. It's a bridge widening?
No.
So this is the initial designs have come out on this. I think the design already started this past year, fiscal year 19. I believe it's a small, minor widening of the bridge, and we're looking to put in a shared use pathway on both sides. And I believe they're 10 feet. If I can be sure.
So what does that mean?
Shared use pathways on both sides, and then on both sides of the bridge, or at least on the northern side going into Delray, it would go into the other local initiatives program projects that we have, which are going to be, I believe, is right now proposed as separated bikes. So over the bridge, though, it would be a shared use path. So you as a biker, if you're not going to be using shared use path.
So it was, okay, this is going over a bridge, and this is an area where we're going to go 15, 20 miles an hour. And do you want to funnel that with people walking across the bridge with their families? To me, it was a real mismatch. You really need to have sidewalks where people are going to walk, and you need bike lanes where you're going to really bike lane. And there's a real need for that.
And people fish there all the time. Okay. So being having an elevated thing, you would feel safer. People fish there with little kids.
Sure. I know. There's a lot of discussion about the shared use path, and to me that was like small, minor, because the really important thing in that area was there for bike lanes across that bridge. You could put the sheros in the road, you could find, because it's really not that much traffic, but it's like four roads come together, and they can all go over the same bridge, and it's not big enough. So anyway, I was going to push that and make it wider. I don't know.
Well, Andrew, what would be the process
otherwise? I don't know. They're already going through the design process.
Right.
So I know that it seemed like the cities on both sides were trying to minimize the widening of it, and we pushed back on that, and we said at least give us 10-foot shared use path on both sides. That would be an elevated from the, like you're saying, Gene, it's going to be elevated a little bit from the roadway, right, on both sides, but it will not be a separate facility for a bicyclist, so there would have to be shared roads across it.
It's shared across the road.
And then when you get, I don't know, on the southern side, the facility is there, but on the northern side, we have a lot of Delray Beach proposed products for Avocet, Lindell, that's all separated.
So you're gonna put a 10-foot pathway across this bridge.
And slightly elevated, yep.
It's going to be a curve.
I don't know the curve.
Maybe a curve. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the curve. I can't think of what the pathway.
I mean, it'll be grade separated. It'll be something that won't be flush with the roadway.
Right. It'd be above. So it'll be a curb, and then you're shared use path.
Yeah.
So if I'm riding a bicycle, I run across somebody in the pathway, and I have nowhere else to go, I'm going to go over that curb.
Or use the roadway when you're approaching the bridge.
Or you could walk across the bridge.
Yeah, you could
stop
dismount
your bike and actually walk across the bridge. You would anticipate, you'd say, there's people there. I'm going to stop my bike and I'm going to walk around the people. That's what you're going to do.
No, probably I'll just walk the roadway.
If I'm driving
100 miles an hour, I'm going to slam on my brakes. I'm going to go out on the road.
Right, if there's traffic, but it becomes a safety issue.
It's pushing us all together.
Right.
And that's what my point is.
Right.
It's a place where you need a separated bike lane.
I agree.
So anyway, we can look into it.
I kind of caved in on it, and it wasn't really, anyway.
So you've
been to a meeting?
Well, I was on a meeting, and I guess we were probably explaining what they're going to do, and I guess I didn't have any, I had no impact on the scoring it. So, you know, it's whatever you want to do. And to me, that whole thing describes a weakness in our, and I remember having a separate discussion about the scoring of bike lanes versus shared use paths, and that's why I was. It's all consistent.
And then my brother lived like on the canal, like four houses west of this bridge, and I'm like very familiar with it. And one of the things I will say is now you're going to have like a 10-foot shared use, like a 12-foot travel, 12-foot travel, 10. It's almost going to look like a four-lane bridge going over, and it's almost if you had the green striping for a bike lane, it's going to visually narrow the bridge so people stay slow.
Yeah.
And then if you had a raised sidewalk, it's going to give people an opportunity to fish and feel safe.
Yeah. Matter of fact, you could hang off the bridge a sidewalk, and it wouldn't cost a lot of money.
It's another thing to do. So.
But those are good comments.
But I don't want to sit here and hold up the whole thing.
Yeah. Do we have? Yeah, and I saw in my neighborhood they changed the scope to reduce the neighborhood with all the big trees.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my neighbors don't get it. But do we have a motion? We've got a motion. We've got a second. We've had discussion. Is there any more discussion? Can I get a vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Now, the next item is 3A. Christine, do you have to come? Do you want to speak before or after? I have a card.
Yes, just here.
Is he there?
You know what? Let's go ahead and move forward with your presentation. Jason, excellent presentation. Thank you.
Sure, thanks.
And Madam Chair, I'd just like to remind the committee this is information only. This is information you've seen before with a couple of with an asterisk or two, and it's information that you'll be seeing again. So I'm just here to bore you. this is the transportation plan update, the cost feasible plan, as well as a summary of transportation revenue. And these are the projects that will be fully constructed to 2045. Not all of the projects are going to have a construction phase, but there's a planning phase included in the future. As always, our vision is a safe, efficient, connected, multimodal transportation system. Just a reminder of the schedule, we will not be meeting in August, so if there's anything that you'd like to contribute, please add it as soon as possible. There's a sense of urgency, as this giant document is going to be published at the end of October. The Desires plan that you saw before includes the bicycle pedestrian tier 1 and 2 priorities. This does go into the LI process of towards the ranking and ally process. These are areas that were done on a propensity analysis, where there's areas of need, whether it's an underserved area or an area near a sidewalk, and so on. The same with the bicycle needs. These are the desires plan. And you'll notice that a lot of them are on roadways that we'll be talking about later. This means that what we can do best on each of these that are going to be improved, we will do, and the red means that there'll be more priority placed on them. As you've seen before, we'll talk more about the transit program, and then on, which is the five north-south corridors, that's the Tri-Rail, Tri-Rail FEC, US 1 Congress Avenue Military Trail, north and south, and the east-west corridors, Okeechobee Boulevard that came up, Forest Hill Boulevard, Lake Worth, Boynton Beach, Atlantic Glades. And on the roadways, State Road 7 Atlantic, US 27 Connector Hooker Highway, Turnpike Managed Lanes, talk about that, interchanges as well, I-95 Managed Lanes and Interchanges, State Road 80 Elevated Expressway, which we will come back to, and the US 27 Rail Facility, which we will also come back to, and then Palm Beach County Roadways. This is a much cleaner version of what you saw last month. The TPA role here with TPA projects is to select major projects on state highway system for implementation, continue into an annually competitive application process for LITA programs. Those are the same that you saw earlier. Jason stole my thunder on that. For the FDOT projects, our role is to endorse, modify, or reject projects that have been prioritized by FDOT. They select them and provide regional mobility. And then county projects, our role is to identify the county projects based on anticipated future traffic volumes, support, supplement local projects with LI funding on these roads. Draft cost feasible plan, we intend to continue the LI and TA programs, fully fund roadway capacity projects, including State Road 7 Extension, Atlantic Avenue West of Jog, 27 Connector and Hooker Highway. You've seen those before. Fund the PD&E for the 561 transit plan corridors. There's a 5 north, south, 6 east, west, and 1 because we're one connected system. Without dedicated local funding. Planning studies identify preferred alternatives, some funding plan. Fund set aside for state road modifications, advance our vision, complete street policy, vision zero. Annually identify state roadway modifications for complete streets, transit amenities, safety improvements, maintenance operation, tech investments. The FDOT projects. These are the ones, so these have been prioritized by the state. We would like to propose to endorse most of the projects, including State Road 710 widening, the new modified I-95 interchanges, I-95 managed lanes, south of Indiantown widening, north of Indiantown, State Road 80 widening west of Royal Palm Beach Boulevard. And I drove this yesterday, and there's a road called Flying Cow.
Yes.
I would love that somebody would just tell
say the story.
The story later.
Anybody know the story of Flying Cow Road? No.
Okay. You did?
Orion?
We did. Ryan, you're the one.
It's named after Charles Oliver Wellington. That was his ranch, the Flying Cow Ranch, sealed building.
Was there ever a Flying Cow?
Was it a twister?
I don't know why he called flying. But
well, because he was an aviator.
Oh.
Part of Aero Club was built around his passion for aviation. So the flyer, who was Charles Oliver Wellington, gave provided the foundation for Flying Cow Road.
That was much more informative. I asked somebody why it was called that, and called it the Redneck Raceway. Not the word, it's not mine. And I have a lot to learn.
Okay. The turnpike. Put that pathway along.
Yep, we're going to connect it. Yeah. Turnpike managed lanes south of State Road 710, the widening of north of State Road 710. This is interesting. We're endorsing the PDE, the study only, for that Southern Boulevard Elevated Expressway project, and the Turnpike Interchange at Hypoluxo. The second one, it's because that's all that they have put into their own plan. So that's why we're endorsing a PDE. And then another role to modify, the US 27 freight capacity. We were asked by our board to instead propose a new freight railway instead of truck-only lanes being added to that roadway. So that's what's in our cost-feasible plan, which you've received already in your package. Palm Beach County, of course, endorsed road widening, new construction projects, as shown in your package. Roadway capacity projects should be warranted by future demand. TPA is conducting follow-up meetings with Palm Beach County almost weekly to ensure that all the warranted projects have been included in the draft plan. And we support the reconstruction of county and city roadways, of course. TPA can provide LA funds for projects that advance its vision, its complete streets policy, and its Vision Zero commitment. Again, with the schedule, we're here in July. We are not meeting in August, so please send to your liaison any questions or anything you'd like to contribute. And also, and I've said this in the other committees, October 31st is when our fiscal year ends for this project, for the LRTP. And since it's October 31st, I'm open to Halloween costume ideas. So send any questions to your liaison. And if you have any other questions, thank you.
Slide 19, you use the term warranted county projects. What does that mean?
Yeah, I wonder if that too.
It means if the
there's several slides.
If the demand is exceeding the capacity, that's a warranted project. That means
so they have the county widened roads that aren't needed. Sometimes from a capacity standpoint?
Sometimes.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that they're warranted projects.
But I didn't hear.
So I guess there's warranted projects and there's projects that aren't. But that means there's projects that aren't warranted in the county's program? Or have been?
Sure, for context for that remark, we received a list of road widening projects from county engineering, some of which were projected to be congested if the widening was not implemented, and some of which were projected to not be congested if there was no widening. So we're having a conversation with them about when it's appropriate to forecast the need to widen the road.
Right.
Well, we are meeting with them weekly.
Okay.
To clarify.
Okay, I have a public speaker.
Yes, Kashi Martin with Palm Beach County Planning. Yes, we are meeting with TPA. We have a lot of concerns on the some of the long-term plans. But all of you guys should know that, and I'll request them to tell you what methodology they are using to get to those projected volumes and capacities. We have a difference in opinion, but anyway, we are working with them. So at this time, it's all considered as a preliminary information. Also, I wanted to let everybody know here that, for example, when you go to those maps, and if you can bring those maps up, what Boca sees, or Jupiter sees, or Wellington sees, is immediately, yes, whichever map, doesn't matter, all these maps, they will immediately point out any issues in their cities. That's what they are focusing and looking at it. And thank you for Eric bringing the countywide perspective and question into this. I think for all these committees, they should also look at the fact that we have 39 municipalities, unincorporated counties, about 2,000 square miles. We need to move visitors and the residents in the whole county. So if you guys can a little bit, you know, look at a broader perspective, just not on your own areas, and evaluate these based on that. With that, I will let them explain how they reach, what is their methodology, which my understanding is not the traditional methodology that was used previously been used. You guys should be aware of how those things are aligned. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have any more? We don't have a vote. It's information.
Yeah, just an information.
Mm-hmm. Anybody
else? Yeah, I have a question. For the US 27 rail connector or mm-hmm. rail line or whatever, so that would be a railroad built with public funds?
To be studied.
But eventually that's what would happen, right?
Maybe. I mean, once
because for Brightline, they paid for all their own track.
It may be found out to be not feasible at all, or it may be turning out to be a wonderful project. But
does the state own any other like rail lines? Other than maybe like Tri-Rail or something?
Yeah,
like,
well, I don't have the answer for that.
Isn't it nice? Through the chair, if I could respond to the question. You good?
Yeah, of course.
All right. So first, does the state own any railways? Yes. State of Florida purchased the Tri-Rail corridor from east of 95 in Riviera Beach all the way to the Miami Intermodal Center. So that is now a publicly owned railroad that allows for CSX freight train freight trains to operate on the publicly owned railroad via easement. That's a relatively unique situation, though. Most rail corridors are privately owned. The conversation on US 27 is really driven by the District 6 commissioner, who's saying she would prefer to see, in the western communities of Palm Beach County, would prefer to see an investment in rail capacity versus an investment in additional road capacity within the US 27 state-controlled right-of-way. The state is not accustomed to constructing railroads in state-owned rights-of-way. And so their general sense is that it would be, yes, we think there's a need for more capacity on US 27 to bring the movement of goods north-south in the southern part of Florida, but we feel more comfortable recommending that capacity be an additional lane for trucks to drive on, not for rail cars to travel along. So we've got a difference of opinion, and it's a regional conversation. There's a difference of opinion in Broward. There's an open question in Miami-Dade as to whether railroad traffic could be introduced. And then to David's other question, who would construct and how would it be paid for? I think Michael's right. We haven't determined that yet. It could be through an open RFP. The state would say, we're interested in private railways proposing to construct a corridor in our right-of-way. Or it could be through public money and then seek to recover some of that public investment through the fees charged for a freight carrier to use that publicly owned rail corridor. We really haven't figured it out.
One thing I think is important, I've been trying to do a pathway within a railroad corridor, so I've had all these conversations about this, and I want to go from Dyer to the Solid Waste Authority under B-Line. But one of the things I will say is I had this very interesting conversation with the rail coordinator. When they widened the Panama Canal, ships that could no longer, they created the capacity for ships to go through the Panama Canal, the freight that came in from overseas used to come in California along the West Coast. Well, now these ships can make it, and now they're coming into ports along the East Coast, including Miami. So what's happened is because if it's going to be delivered east of the Mississippi, it's coming in on the East Coast and west on the West Coast. So this, what happens is now the ships are coming, a lot more traffic is coming into Miami and a lot of these big super tankers, which has then pushed ships to Broward, which is then pushing ships to Palm Beach. Well, the good thing about the 27, and it's been envisioned for years, is an inland port out in Palm Beach County, out in the Glades, which would totally create jobs and create economic growth. And so a railway corridor might help with the inland port, and now that we're, I asked them, I said, well, have you studied it? And he said, oh, we spent like $1 million on studies seeing how the widening of the Penn Canal is going to affect our railway. So, I mean, that's just like kind of a trivia, but it's something to consider.
Yeah, and you'd be delighted to hear that the FDOT, with their study on freight, came to us and said they're actually performing at the ports way more efficient than they've even planned themselves. Now, I don't know what that means for rail, but they're doing well.
Yeah, and so many people live below the poverty level of the lakes, it would be game-changer.
Yeah, I just want to make a point, kind of clarification what Khurshid said. You know, I don't want the county to be perceived or traffic department or planning that we're against multimodal or against division. We strongly believe in moving people, not cars. The only thing we're concerned about is we want to make sure that whatever we propose for the future is backed by some kind of rational evaluation, not some kind of vision. And basically, the more people will shift to multimodal to transit, the happier we'll be. It just want to make sure it's done in a rational way.
Do we have any other discussion?
I have a quick trivia.
Okay.
You talked about private and government investment in private railroad. The most interesting case is the Transcontinental Railroad was pretty much subsidized by the federal government. They got land along the railroad. The whole way it was built. So that was 1800s, but yeah.
And it went back to ownership.
Private ownership,
yeah.
But yeah, perhaps there's a P3 sort of model. There's
movies,
yeah.
Westerns, all about it.
Yeah, but it's, I even found cases, I was on vacation in Scotland, and they were doing tax increment financing to build bridges in the 1700s to pay for bridges. So it's not, these aren't new ideas, but.
Yeah, no, and this is ties in. I have Tree for Peanut Island. There's discussions that the county made the port facility, County Buckland, may become a county park, but we're very preliminary and nothing's been decided. But in doing research, money was allocated to build that Coast Guard station, but rum runners were running from the Bahamas into Palm Beach Inlet, and the political powers delayed the construction of the Coast Guard facility because they didn't want the rum runners to get caught. And when prohibition ended, they started construction. So, good trivia. Anybody else?
Thank you very much.
Michael, that was a great presentation. Thank you. Okay. Do I have any member comments? I have one, and that is August 8th, we're going to be doing evaluating the scoring sheets. Are we going to start at 9:07, and then we'll run this
9:07, yeah, it'll be for 2 hours.
Okay, so, to 11:07.
Yep.
So everybody mark your calendars, and on that, I'd like it to be as efficient as possible.
Yes.
So what I'd like to do is have the past, Bob Saban pointed this out last time, had the last 3 years of projects, how you guys scored and how we scored, but actually have the projects available on the table, 2 copies of each.
Okay, do you want the previous projects that were scored?
Right, I want the last 3 years of projects, including the grant application.
Okay.
So we'll have one for all of the ones submitted,
okay.
2 copies of each, and then scoring sheets on how you guys scored and how we scored, so we can compare, because the thing I keep going back to is I think the greenways kind of don't get scored as well, but then with this shift to transfer some of the TA to local initiatives, it's going to help dramatically. So that's a move in the right direction. Any other member comments? All right. Hey, we're not late today.
You're doing a great job.
There was a lot less on the agenda than normal. Summary points from the June 20th governing.
Yes, very quickly. There was only one thing. I think it was just Heather Danforth was approved as being represented through 2022. That's it.
Okay. The next meeting is August 8th. And for those who want to attend on the scoring, it's not mandatory. We go to September 5th.
And it's Labor Day, isn't it?
I don't know, is it?
Jim, right before.
Okay.
So it's Thursday before.
11:07. All right, do I have any comments? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Some move.
By Bob, do I need a second? Michael? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Motion carries, we are adjourned.
Guys.